On the final day of its term, two blockbuster rulings from the Supreme Court with vast political consequences. The court on Thursday ruled for the first time that federal courts have no place in policing partisan gerrymandering, leaving it up to the states and Congress to regulate. Also, the court ruled against the Trump administration's attempt to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the liberals in a 5-4 decision, which found the Trump administration did not give an adequate explanation for its plan to add the question.
Once jilted at the altar by Pfizer, Botox maker Allergan is sitting pretty in a huge deal. AbbVie is buying Allergan for about $63 billion. The $188.24 per share offer is 45% higher than Allergan's closing price Monday. Its shares had lost half their value following Pfizer's decision to walk away from its acquisition deal 3 years ago.
The threat of climate change to Greece's ancient monuments is continuing to worsen. That's the conclusion by scientists at a two-day conference on the impact of global warming on cultural heritage. Air pollution and acid rain in the Greek capital Athens are eroding this marble, and extreme weather phenomena have caused structural problems in the ancient walls and temples that decorate the city.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It is June the 28th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've got a good program for you today. We'll hit the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, as always. We'll keep you posted on the latest business news as well. We'll hit some of the numbers here momentarily. On the program today, Brian Summers will be here from skiff.com. Brian, our regular Friday guest here on The Opening Bell, the senior aviation business editor at skiff.com. We've got some 737 MAX news to talk about, some developments with Boeing, and also by ripple effect, United Airlines. Brian will be along at about 5:38 this morning here on the program. Let's begin first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk with the opening bell set to ring on Wall Street as the trading week winds down. Stocks closed mixed yesterday on Wall Street ahead of President Trump's meeting today with the Chinese President Xi Jinping over trade. At the closing bell yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost about 10 points. The NASDAQ gained 58. The S&P was up nearly 11 points. The White House reportedly considering bypassing Congress to cut capital gains taxes that primarily benefit the wealthy. Bloomberg is reporting President Trump wants to change the way capital gains taxes are calculated to get around needing congressional approval. Capital gains taxes are paid on anything that gains value, usually stocks or real estate. Bloomberg claims the president would issue an executive order, but would likely face legal challenges because it swerves in a big way over into Congress's territory. This morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 81 points, nearly a third. S&P futures are up nearly a quarter of a percent. And NASDAQ futures are up almost a quarter of a percent this morning. As we look around the rest of the globe, in Europe, lots of green on the screen there. In London, up nearly a quarter of a percent. The FTSE up nearly 20 points. In Germany, up nearly a half a percent, nearly 58 points on the DAX. And in France, up nearly 16 points, nearly a third. In Asia this morning, some red on the screen. The Nikkei going to end the day down nearly 28, make that 62 points, and that's nearly a quarter of a percent. In China, off nearly a half a percent. And in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng down nearly 78 points, nearly a quarter of a percent. And oil in the United States is at $59.45 a barrel, which is up about 2 pennies. A couple of more business stories as we get going this morning. Germany's largest lender is getting a passing grade from the Federal Reserve. Deutsche Bank was given a healthy check by the U.S. Central Bank yesterday and passed. The federal stress test was to measure the bank's ability to survive a major economic downturn and to avoid taxpayer bailouts, like the one used in the 2008 financial crisis. Deutsche Bank's U.S. shares went up 6% following the announcement. 16 other banks have also been approved by the Federal Reserve this year in terms of their ability to sustain an emergency. It's been a wild ride this week for the digital currency Bitcoin. The price topped out more than 16%, dropped more than 16% yesterday to fall below $11,000, just a day after it hit an 18-month high of $14,000. Other digital currency also suffered setbacks. At one point, Bitcoin fell $1,800 in about 10 minutes. Market was trending up after Facebook announced plans to develop its own cryptocurrency earlier this month. As we look at some of the numbers this morning on the crypto market, Bitcoin in the U.S. at $11,871. Again, off nearly $1,100. And down, make that up now, nearly 11% after that big drop yesterday. We're also keeping an eye on oil prices over the last couple of weeks with the Iran crisis. Not much change in prices today as investors turn their attention to the G20 summit where President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are scheduled to meet. International benchmark crude up a nickel a barrel. West Texas intermediate crude down nearly 2 cents. And investors are hoping that Trump and Xi will work out a settlement to the trade war that's shaken markets for more than a year. A couple of other stories, too. Russian President Vladimir Putin has met with outgoing British Prime Minister Theresa May. That's the first such top-level encounter in years. Relations between Russia and Britain have been in tatters over the March 4th, 2018 nerve agent attack on a double agent and his daughter who were in the city of Salisbury. They spent weeks in critical condition but recovered. Britain has accused Russia of poisoning them with the nerve agent Novichok, accusations Moscow has denied. May said before the summit that Britain will push for the two Russian military intelligence officers accused of involvement in the attack to be brought to justice. In an interview with the Financial Times at the G20 summit, Putin said that Russia had nothing to do with the poisoning. He argued that bilateral ties are far more important than what he called the fuss about spies. Not worth 5 kopecks. A group of investors that includes the owners of toy maker Lego buying Merlin Entertainment, a British company that operates theme parks like Legoland. Lego owner Kirby Invest joined forces with private equity firm Blackstone and the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board to offer nearly 60 cents per share for Merlin. Merlin, which runs 8 Legolands and 20 Legoland Discovery Centers, among other sites, says it has accepted the deal. Its share price jumped nearly 14%. One of our regulars is with us this morning, Brian Summers of Skift.com. He's the business aviation editor there. We're going to talk a little bit about the situation with the 737 MAX. There's some other developments as well in the world of travel. First, let's welcome Brian in this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, I want to begin with the 737 MAX story. We reported a little bit earlier that Boeing has delayed the software again, and there may be a new problem with the plane as well. What do you know?
It sure sounds like it, Steve. You know, nobody has been sure for a long time when the 737 MAX would fly again. The FAA did come out this week and said that its pilots had found some sort of flaw with the software on the airplane, and Boeing is going to have to fix it. They didn't say exactly what it was. There was some reporting that suggested that the government pilot was unable to basically follow Boeing's procedures to regain control of the airplane. You have to remember, in a situation like this, the FAA is probably going above and beyond, right? Because nobody wants to see this happen again or anything like it. So, you know, Boeing is going to make sure that this airplane is as perfect as can be. It's going to put it through its paces. And I can't say that I'm surprised that the FAA found another problem with it.
So, Brian, I mean, this whole process really sounds like, you know, giving your house a once over and finding problems you never knew exist, right?
It really is. It's like when you're doing a construction project on your house and you know that you have one problem, and so you have the contractors open up the house and they find 3 more. If you had never opened up the house, if you had never started the project in the first place, you never would have found the other problems. And I just think that the more the FAA looks at this airplane, the more they're going to be just checking on a bunch of things that they may never looked at. You know, those 1 in 1 million, 1 in 10 million things that could happen. And they're going to be looking at.
Yeah, and in the middle of all of this are the people who are consumers. United is another airline that's announced that they're going to keep the 737 MAX down. They're going to keep canceling flights probably through Labor Day. So there's still that after effect as well, isn't there?
Yes. You know, for a while, Steve, a lot of airlines were confident that they would get this airplane back by summer, by August, perhaps. Now there doesn't seem to be that confidence. I mean, you can imagine the reason why airlines are only canceling these flights, you know, 1 month in advance at a time, right? United doesn't want to come out and say, we're not going to fly this airplane until January. They're just going to do it little by little. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of confidence out there anymore about when the airplane will fly. Southwest came out this week and said they've canceled their MAX schedule through the end of September.
You know, Brian, another part of this story, too, is the growing calls for more pilot training on this aircraft. We saw Chesley Sullenberger talk about this, the guy who landed the plane on the Hudson. And today, the trade organizations that are, I guess, the transport organization, representative organization, says they think pilots should get more simulator training on this. That's another part of the story.
Absolutely. I mean, you may remember this has been an issue for a long time. The 737 has been around for, what, like 50 years? And in the beginning, Boeing said this is a Boeing 737 MAX. It's pretty much the same as all the 737s. All the pilots have been flying for decades. You really don't need that much extra training. These two crashes have shown pilots that it's not exactly the same airplane, and there's a lot of discussion right now about how much extra training pilots need. I mean, certainly airlines are willing to train pilots extra. A lot of it comes down to right now, do the pilots need to go into a special flight simulator that mimics everything the 737 MAX could do, or is that not necessary? And it's interesting that it's taking so long for both government and airlines to come to a consensus about whether it is necessary.
I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the 737 MAX for a couple more months here. So
it may be more than a couple more months, Steve.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Listen, there's another story, too, I want to talk to you about. And we've talked about people with food allergies on planes before. There's some sort of new legal protections coming.
Yes, Steve, it's relatively minor, but this was a case of an American Airlines flight in September 2016. There was a 7-year-old girl who had a peanut allergy, and her parents wanted to make sure that she could get on the plane early, just so that the parents could wipe down the child's area so that the child wouldn't be exposed to residues from a prior flight of peanuts and tree nuts. And, you know, American was supposed to say, sure, you can pre-board, you have a disability. The airline's agent didn't allow it. And so the parents of this girl went to the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Transportation, to its credit, came out recently and said, look, you know, a peanut allergy, a nut allergy is a real disability. Parents should have the right to allow their kids pre-boarding so that you can wipe down the areas and things like that. And it needs to be taken seriously. You know, the airlines have gotten a little bit smarter about peanut allergies. It's been in the news a lot. And you'll notice, you know, we bring this up a lot, but Southwest was known for serving peanuts for, what, decades? They don't serve peanuts anymore. And I think that's part of the reason.
There's another cool story about a tiny airline, Air Italy, that seems to be picking a fight with the big United States carriers. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, Steve. People probably haven't heard of Air Italy, in part because it didn't exist until a couple of years ago. The reason that Air Italy is in the news right now is because Air Italy is 49% owned by Qatar Airways. Qatar Airways is, of course, in some ways, an enemy of the big U.S. airlines. The U.S. airlines say that Qatar Airways is essentially subsidized by its government. The airline has a very good product on board its airplanes. It has relatively cheap prices. American, Delta, United really dislike the Gulf Airlines in general because they think that they're dumping capacity on the U.S. market, right? So historically, American, United, and Delta have been mostly worried about flights from the Middle East to the United States. But now you have this situation where Qatar Airways is buying 49% of a European airline, and maybe they're propping it up a little bit. Maybe they're absorbing some losses. And Air Italy flies now from Milan to New York, Miami, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. They were supposed to start Chicago this year. They postponed it for some reason, but they say that they're going to be back in the Chicago market next summer, which is good news for passengers, probably less good news for United and American, which will have to compete with it.
These airlines don't see this as a major threat. This is just something, a blip on the radar screen, isn't it?
Well, you know, it depends on who you talk to, right? I mean, you could say now Air Italy only flies four routes in the United States. It doesn't have any brand recognition. Nobody's heard of it. But what if you let them get big? Then nobody knows what's going to happen. So the U.S. airlines have been going to the U.S. government and saying this is unfair. So far, the government really hasn't said anything about it, just because Air Italy is, you know, by the legal definition, it's a European-owned airline. It's majority-owned by a European investor, and it can fly from Europe to the United States.
All right, Brian, good conversation as always. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Brian Summers is the aviation business editor at skift.com. Make sure you follow them at Skift on Twitter, and follow Brian Summers as well at Brian Summers.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street at the opening bell a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are up 72 points, nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P futures up nearly a quarter of a percent. NASDAQ futures up just a fraction this morning. On the futures market. Let's check in on agriculture and commodities now. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning to you, Steve. And it's a big day in the agricultural industry because it's the last Friday of June, and we'll be getting trade estimates for June acreage and grain stocks reports. And then we'll also get the quarterly pig crop report out today. And, of course, ahead of those reports, we always get guesses, or as I call them, guesstimates from analysts and traders. So just a quick rundown on what they're expecting. The release of the quarterly grain stocks and acreage report due at 11 o'clock this morning. And back in March, we had the planting intentions report. So today we'll find out, I think, how much we planted, but it's going to be a tough one to digest. I think there'll be a lot of questions asked because of the planting delays created by the spring rains. But anyway, they are looking for corn planted acreage in today's report at 86.6 million acres. That would be quite a bit below what they said they were going to plant back in March. They said then they would plant 92.7 million acres. So that's quite a difference from the planting intentions report, but nobody knew what the weather was going to be doing. As far as grain stocks, the quarterly report, they are estimating wheat stocks at 1.1 billion bushels. And that would be down from the March 1st number of 1.591 billion. Corn stocks, they're estimating at 5.3 billion bushels, and that would be down from the 8.6 billion on the 1st of March. And soybeans, 1.8 billion bushels stocks, and that would be down from the 2.7 billion that we got in March. Now, the pig crop report, those numbers will be out this afternoon at 1 o'clock Chicago time. Traders are expecting that we will see an increase in hog numbers, but this is always good dinner conversation for the family. How many hogs are there in the United States? Well, they're thinking 75,052,000 will be the number that'll come out today. That would be a gain of 3% over a year ago. And the numbers kept for breeding at 6.4 million. That would be 2.1% above a year ago. The number of pigs kept for market at 68 million. That would be up 3.1% compared to a year ago. So a lot of numbers that the market will be digesting today, Steve. And at least it's not raining this morning in Huntley. So
yeah, and it looks like we might actually have some nice warm weather here for the next few days. Orin, you talked about the pigs. Are we getting any closer to having a better export situation to, let's say, China on some of our hogs and pigs?
Well, I don't know if we set our sights too high on that one, if traders came in with a bigger number than was reality. Yeah, the numbers have been disappointing. They have not been as great as a lot of traders anticipated, but I don't know if that's over anticipation, or I guess we'll have to wait to find out, because you know, Vietnam has culled 2.6 million pigs because of African swine fever. Can't really know what numbers to believe from China. Some of them have been at 900,000, but we know it's a lot more pigs than that. And being the biggest pork consumer in the world, they are going to have to satisfy their citizens, because the one thing you don't want is citizens angry and upset because there is a food shortage. So we're going to have to wait to see on that one. We should also mention there will be an open dairy farm coming up this weekend, and that'll be tomorrow at the Lenkitas Farm in St. Charles. They'll be opening the barn doors, and you can take 30-minute tours and see the cows being milked by robotic milkers, and the opportunity to talk to dairy farmers about how they care for their animals, how they feed them, and that sort of thing. And then keep in mind, Steve, next week it's a holiday week, so agricultural markets will be closing early on Wednesday, July 3rd. They'll be closing at various times during the noon hour. That will end the trading session until Friday, because markets will be closed Thursday, the 4th of July, and then they will open for normal trading hours the day after on Friday, July 5. So keep that in mind for trading today and the first couple of days next week.
All right. Very good. Orion, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
All right. We'll be listening also for the morning show tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, June the 28th. Personal income and spending for May are due out today. Analysts are forecasting a 0.3% increase in home income and a 0.2% bump in spending. Both are slightly lower than April's gains. Personal income and spending, one of the chief reports out today. Also, Chicago PMI. We'll also get a look at consumer sentiment numbers today. One Fed speaker, Mary Daly, out talking about monetary policy. Constellation Brands on the earnings calendar today. Quarterly earnings from Constellation Brands. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, June the 28th.